Vaigunya kita kalita, Haishunya branapitita. Dainyarnave nimagnoham, Chaitanya vaidyam ashraye.
I am infected by the germs of material activity and am suffering from the boils of envy. Therefore, falling in an ocean of humility, I take shelter of the great physician, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sachi Sutta Sri Krishna Chaitanya Jaya Jaya Kripamaya Nityananda Dhanya. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi. All glories to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Indeed, he is the most glorious and merciful. Jaya Dvaita Kripa Sindhu Jaya Bhaktagan Jaya Swarup Gadadhar Rupa Sanatan. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaita Prabhu, the ocean of mercy, and to all the devotees such as Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Sri Sanatan Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Lila A. Amritera Sindhu Tri Jagata Basaite Pari Yara Eka Bindu. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an ocean of nectar. Even a drop of this ocean can inundate all the three worlds. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To inundate the three worlds with nectar is the purpose of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How this could be possible was exhibited by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and later by Thakur Narottam Das and Shama Ananda Goswami, who all represented the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now that same mercy is overflooding the entire world through the Krishna consciousness movement. The present Krishna consciousness movement is non-different from the pastimes performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was personally present, for the same principles are being followed and the same actions performed without fail. Srila Prabhupada ki. In this beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada has placed a very great responsibility on each of us. This material world is considered to be the ocean of repetition of birth and death. The various forms of sufferings and miseries in this world are so complex and so deep and so very unavoidable that it is considered like an ocean. And to cross over this ocean is impossible for anyone. But one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through hearing His glories and chanting His holy names, to such a person, by the mercy of the Lord, the ocean of birth and death reduces to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a small calf. and even a child can effortlessly cross over that small body of water. Srimad Bhagavatam explains in another way that the boat of the lotus feet, Krishna, and those devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna, they can carry one across this great ocean. And generally, if you want to wait for the next voyage of a boat, you have to wait till the boat crosses the entire ocean and return, which takes a long time. But the boat of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas is different. Because when you take shelter of that boat, the ocean reduces to the size of the water contained in hoofprint of calf. And you just go on one side of the boat, and you go off the other side, and you've crossed the ocean. And in this way, there can be a continual passage of so many people coming and coming and going and going and going. But when you cross over this ocean of material suffering, you are given the opportunity to immerse yourself eternally in another ocean, an ocean of nectar, as explained here by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. The ocean of transcendental bliss in devotional service, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And it is to flood the world with that ocean of spiritual happiness that Lord Chaitanya has descended to this world. There are many incarnations of the Lord who have appeared in various forms, in different times, and they all come for this purpose, to invite the conditioned souls back to the natural homeland of the spiritual world. Because this material world is a very foreign place for the soul. The Atma is eternal. It is by nature full of love for Krishna. And it will only be satisfied when that love is fully reciprocated with Krishna. But in this world, we try to fulfill that eternal longing by reposing our loving propensities in so many artificial Krishnas. We try to substitute the Supreme Lord with various temporary objects of affection. We try to substitute the ocean of bliss that we are naturally to be swimming in for a contaminated puddle which is filled with all sorts of disease and ultimately causes death again and again and again. So the Lord manifests himself in this world to call us back to his lotus feet. That your real treasure is in devotional service to Lord Hari. And your real home is to swim in the ocean of transcendental ras in loving service to Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be the essence of all incarnations of the Lord, because he comes in the time that is most difficult, in the age of Kali Yuga, to give everyone and anyone the opportunity to achieve the highest realizations in this one short life that we have. And those persons who are propagating the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
and teaching the principles that he has given us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so mercifully manifesting himself completely through their instructions. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he came to bring this message of Lord Chaitanya to all the world, to fulfill Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great desire of flooding the world with Krishna Prema. And Kaviraj Goswami explains how great is this ocean of Lord Chaitanya's love, that even one tiny little drop from this ocean can inundate all the three worlds with love of Krishna. So what is this ocean if that is the power of one drop? We can only hope against hope, long to one day enter that ocean and distribute drops from that ocean to whoever we meet, wherever we go, forever. And how Lord Chaitanya performed this great service to all living beings is something very wonderful. Lord Chaitanya had great bliss revealing the glories of his own devotees. In fact, it is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that just like an artist arranges to paint a beautiful picture, similarly, Lord Chaitanya in his own artistic way arranges the world in such a way just to glorify the good qualities of his devotees. But actually all of those qualities are his himself. All good qualities' origin is Krishna. A devotee never takes credit for the qualities that he or she may have, but a devotee gives all credit to Krishna and those who are helping them to remember Krishna. But Krishna, his great pleasure is to give all credit and all glory to that devotee. And actually, what is the quality of the devotee? From Krishna's point of view, it is that that devotee is so humbly and sincerely willing to receive my mercy, so I can do anything and everything through him or her. And Krishna wants the whole world to glorify that devotee. And just to show that there is no material considerations to who can receive the mercy and who can give the mercy, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated his pastimes in such a remarkable, fascinating, and mysterious way. Within society, there is the Varna ashram system. Generally, the Brahmins are considered those who have the highest degree of knowledge, and they are meant to be the spiritual masters of society. And the sannyasis are supposed to be the most learned, the most detached, and they are also meant to be the spiritual masters of society. But in the age of Kali Yuga, unqualified Brahmins and unqualified sannyasis, just by their birthright or their ability to perform various rituals or various austerities, they want to take positions that they really do not at all deserve. In fact, it is said in the Shastra that oftentimes in the age of Kali Yuga, Rakshasas enter into the wombs of Brahmins just to mislead the general masses into sinful, irreligious life. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach the essence of the scriptures.
Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvataha.
The highest truth is bhakti, or devotion. And it can only be achieved through the practice of devotional service. In the Leela of Lord Ram, who is the most celebrated of all of his devotees? It was not a sannyasi, it was not a Brahmin, it wasn't the wealthy king, it wasn't even a human being. It was a very great personality in the body of a monkey. Hanumanji ki! And also Lord Ramchandra, during his search for Sita, he saw another subhuman species, Jatayu. He was a big bird, vulture type of bird. But Lord Chaitanya Lord Ram was so pleased by his service, he didn't consider that he's a vulture type bird. He considered that he did nice service. Therefore, Ramchandra was personally present in his own form at the time Jatayu left his body. Can you imagine? What a benediction. When you're about to leave this world, the Supreme Lord personally comes before you and is praying for you and blessing you. And he told him, today you will return to Vaikuntha. And he sent him back home, back to Godhead, and then he performed the last rites. Ramchandra's, by Varnashram system, he was a great Kshatriya, the son of the king, Dasarath Suta. And he was the Supreme Lord. And yet he performed the last rites for a vulture bird. Why? Because he had devotion. Because he was willing to risk his life to serve the Lord. That is the essence of a person's character. To what degree we are willing to make sacrifice to serve the Lord. Everything else is superficial. These various varnas and ashrams are to be respected and practiced just to create a social environment by which we can develop these qualities. But it is the qualities of a human being that actually are the essence of their real existence and are to be really honored and respected and worshipped. Lord Sri Krishna, when he appeared, he demonstrated the ultimate bhakti, the supreme spiritual realization of all living entities were the simple gopis, who were ladies, housewives, vaishya, wives of vaishyas. But he declared them to be the most worshipable. And in Srimad Bhagavatam we find how there was an elephant named Gajendra. He was an elephant body. But he was directly promoted to Vaikuntha from his elephant body. He didn't have to take any rebirths. Simply because he offered prayers with love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrendered to him with humility. Lord Chaitanya is the essence of all avatars. In the sense that all the incarnations that had ever appeared in the past, in the present, or ever will appear in the future, they were all contained within the one beautiful golden form of Sri Gauranga. And when he appeared, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, he had to make his message very, very practical and clear. Therefore, who did he reveal the highest truths through? Who did he reveal the glories of the chanting of the holy names, the Yuga Dharma, through? more munificently than anyone else. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Thakur Haridas, by caste, he was outcast. He was from untouchable society. He was from a family of Malechas and Yavanas. In the Hindu caste system, as it was followed in those days very ritualistically, if you were touched by the shadow of such a person, you would have to run and jump into the Ganges very quickly. Otherwise, you would lose your caste. If you simply were sprinkled by the water from a glass or a cup that was used to drink by such a person, you're not allowed in any temple for the rest of your life. That's how strict the ordinances were amongst the Smarata Brahmins. But it was through such a person, Haridas Thakur, that Lord Chaitanya decided to empower, to spread the glories of the Yuga Dharma, the transcendental process of congregationally chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And how Lord Chaitanya praised Haridas Thakur. He empowered him in such a way that he could endure being beaten through 22 marketplaces without even feeling any pain and never stop chanting the holy name of Krishna. Even when the most beautiful form of Maya with all her potencies came in the form of the most extraordinary, elegant woman just to disturb Haridas's mind, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to be completely unaffected because he was so much tasting the sweetness of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya empowered this devotee to chant minimum of 300,000 names of Krishna over 190 rounds before he would take a drop of water or food. Throughout his life, and to convert any class of person to become a pure Vaishnava, just by his association. And when Haridas Thakur left this world in a most glorious way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted his body. Usually when someone dies, their dead corpse is considered very contaminated. But here, the source of all purity, the Lord himself, lifted his body and danced in transcendental ecstasy with that body. And he didn't want to let go of it. He just wanted to dance and dance. Swarup Damodar Goswami and the other devotees ultimately had to tell the Lord, it is now time for the last rites of Haridas. Lord Chaitanya wept in transcendental love. The 8 symptoms of ecstasy were manifesting on his body as he was dancing with Haridas's. Lord Chaitanya personally buried the body of Haridas with his own hands, personally bathed his dead body in the ocean, personally went to beg the shopkeepers to give food in honor of the feast for Haridas Thakur's disappearance, and personally with his own mouth, as if he had 5 mouths, he was glorifying Thakur Haridas. because of his transcendentally great service of spreading the glories of the holy name. And he said, the crest jewel of all devotees has now left us, Haridas Thakur. He gave so much glory and so much power. He entrusted the Yuga Dharma to an untouchable, an outcast. But Advaitacharya, who is the expansion of Lord Chaitanya himself, when he was performing the Shraddha ceremony, the first remnants of the Shraddha is meant to be given to the most qualified of all Brahmins. And there were so many learned, highly qualified, genuine Brahmins who were attending that Shraddha ceremony. And Advaitacharya gave the highest honor to Haridas Thakur before all the others, considering he is the greatest of all Brahmins, because he is the one who loves Krishna so dearly. And when it came to explaining the science of devotional service systematically, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that power to Sanatana Goswami, who had also lost his caste and was practically excommunicated by society of Hindus. And Lord Chaitanya exemplified through the world the highest rasas of Vrindavan and love of Krishna through Srila Rupa Goswami, who was the brother of Sanatana Goswami, who was acting as a minister for a Malecha king. And Lord Chaitanya also spoke the most intimate truths of Krishna consciousness ever to be spoken through Ramananda Rai. Who was Ramananda Rai? He was a grihastha and he was a shudra. Because Lord Chaitanya wanted to reveal to the world that the essence of transcendental spiritual realization is bhakti. And it is that quality of bhakti that attracts the mercy of the Lord. And it is that quality of bhakti that attracts the Lord to empower such a soul. It has very little to do with external material designations. And he knew in the age of Kali Yuga, so many sannyasis would be proud, and so many Brahmins would be proud, that he wanted to deflate and crush their pride by empowering in the most super excellent ways grihasthas and shudras and untouchables. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, who were actually by quality the best Brahmins and the best sannyasis. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, a sannyasi is not one who does not light a fire or do no work. A real sannyasi is a person who works in a spirit of true devotion. One time, a very, very pure and learned Brahmin, whose name was Pradyumna Mishra, he approached Lord Chaitanya, because he had already surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And he said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I have come because I want to hear about Krishna. I want to hear wonderful topics of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Please explain. Lord Chaitanya, playing the role of a devotee, he said, these topics are very high. I am not qualified to speak these topics, nor do I even know how to speak them. But if you want to hear the perfect narration you should approach Srila Ramananda Rai and you should ask him to instruct you in the science of Krishna's Leela. So Pradyumna Mishra took this instruction of Lord Chaitanya and he went to the home of Srila Ramananda Rai. And when he got there, Srila Ramananda Rai's servant was present. And he said, Ramananda Rai has just left, and he may not be back for some time. So Pradyumna Mishra asked, what is he doing? So he told him what he does. He said that he is producing and directing a wonderful drama consisting of dancing and singing for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath in his temple. And the actresses are Devidasis, beautiful, beautiful young ladies. And he takes them to a secluded place and teaches them the finer arts of decorating their bodies and dancing and singing and manifesting expressions of transcendental ecstasies just to please Lord Jagannath. So Ramananda Rai was performing this service, and Pradyumna Mishra waited and waited for many, many hours. And just at the end of the day, the servant told Ramananda Rai. So he immediately rushed, and he came to see Pradyumna Mishra, and with great humility, Ramananda Rai bowed down to Pradyumna Mishra. He offered him sitting, he offered him such cordial welcome. He said, you are so kind and merciful that you have come to my home just to bless it and purify it with your divine association. But I am so sorry that I have kept you waiting. I have committed a great offense because my servant just told me that you are here. So Pradyumna Mishra responded that I am very much feeling blessed to be in your home. But because it was late, he took leave and left. And the next day he went to meet Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya immediately asked him, did you hear about the pastimes of Krishna from Srila Ramananda Rai? And he said, no, I didn't. But I do not understand this Srila Ramananda Rai. What I was told he was doing. He's decorating young ladies and teaching them in secluded places. And Lord Chaitanya began to glorify Sri Ramananda Rai. He said, he is such a great person. He could do this and his mind is not at all affected because he's so engrossed in pleasing Lord Jagannath. Actually, Ramananda Rai is the gopi named Vishakha in Krishna's Leela. And Vishakha, her service is to train the other gopis how to please Krishna and Radharani. So Ramananda Rai was in the mood of his original form. He was simply immersed in service. Lord Chaitanya said, if anyone, whoever they may be, tries to imitate this activity of Ramananda Rai, they will be condemned and fall down. Lord Chaitanya said, I am a sannyasi, and if I even see the wooden form of a woman, my mind may be disturbed. But Ramananda Rai could do this with no disturbance. Therefore, no one should in any way imitate the activities of Ramananda Rai. And then he told Pradyumna Mishra that you should go back to him and hear him speak about Krishna. So Pradyumna Mishra was very much astounded to hear the glories of Ramananda Rai from Lord Chaitanya's own mouth. So he went back the next day in the morning and he went to Ramananda Rai's home. And Ramananda Rai very, very graciously greeted him. And he said, how can I serve you? And he said, please, Lord Chaitanya told him, tell Ramananda Roy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally instructed you to request Ramananda Roy to tell about Krishna. So he said, Lord Chaitanya has sent me. So Ramananda Roy, in great humility, he said, what about Krishna? What subject of Krishna katha would you like me to speak on? And Prajumana Mishra said, I do not know what is good for me or what is bad for me. But you know, so you speak whatever you think will be most beneficial. So then Ramananda Rai spent the whole day discussing in a secluded place Krishna Katha with Prajumana Mishra. And afterward, the day came to an end, and someone came to tell Ramananda Rai that now the day is ended. So they stopped the katha, and Prajumana Mishra took his bath and went directly that evening to Lord Chaitanya in great happiness. He said, what you have spoken about Ramananda Rai is certainly true. How extraordinary! He is empowered to discuss the wonderful glories of Krishna's pastimes. But do you know what Ramananda Rai told me? He told me that he is not speaking anything. He said that his tongue is like a stringed instrument, and that you, Lord Chaitanya, are playing on that instrument. He doesn't even know what he's talking, but you are causing him to talk by your own causeless mercy. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, this is the nature of a devotee. He is always very humble and always wants to give credit to others and never take credit for himself. This is the quality of a true Vaishnava. And this is possessed by Sri Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya told Prajumana Mishra that the fact that you are eager to hear about Krishna means you are most fortunate. The eagerness to hear about Krishna and chant his holy names is the real treasure of good fortune. Dharma shvanus tata pung shang vishwakshena katashi yatnot padiye yatiratim shama evahi kevalam. Whatever occupation you may have in this world, if that occupation that you are performing in your life does not promote a greater and greater eagerness to hear the glories of Krishna and to chant his holy names, if it does not create a deeper attachment to Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan, then it is all a useless waste of time, a waste of your life. This was the statement Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made to Sri Prajumana Mishra. We can judge the quality of our spirituality, and we can judge what is good and what is bad in our life by this simple process. How is it inducing us to become more anxious to hear about Krishna and chant his holy names? Or how much it is diverting my attention away from the essence of life? So in the association of devotees, we must learn to live our life in such a way. Ramananda Rai was a grihastha. He was a shudra. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first met him, he was the governor of the province of Madras. That means governor has so many obligations and responsibilities and so many problems to face and solve. But yet, he still had such an empowered eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So in the association of devotees,
by keeping very, very strong and pure sadhana in our life, we can protect and develop this desire for devotional service under any circumstance, whoever we may be. So through this wonderful, wonderful story, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya revealed the most intimate secrets of spiritual topics through a grihastha and a shudra. And Lord Chaitanya himself, who was a Brahmin and sannyasi, became the humble student inquiring and listening to Ramananda Rai. And he sent Pradyumna Mishra, who was a very pure and qualified Brahmin, to study under him. Ramananda Rai was empowered in the most wonderful way to set this example. In this age of Kali Yuga, so many circumstances which in the environment appear to be a certain way, but seeing through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we must evaluate what is actually the truth. Real truth, Krishna explains, is to know that all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna and are in him and are his property. Krishna is the absolute truth. Last week we celebrated Janmashtami. All over the world people celebrate Janmashtami. And in India, it's one of the great festivals. Sometimes people who do not even know who is Krishna, they celebrate Janmashtami. In the Western world, we have our equivalent. It is called Christmas. And it's just a fever that everyone should celebrate Christmas. Even Muslims and Jews, they celebrate Christmas. They may not even know who Jesus Christ is. They may not even know that he was supposed to be born on that day, but still they celebrate Christmas, because everybody else is celebrating Christmas. And similarly in India, we have seen people celebrating Janmashtami. Ah, you are celebrating Janmashtami. Do you know what is Janmashtami? Yes, it is a holiday. And do you know that today is the appearance day of Krishna? Krishna? Who's Krishna? I don't know these things. So in this way, there's such a great, great significance to such celebrations. Who is Krishna? We are celebrating Krishna's birth, but who is Krishna? Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the source of everything that exists. Krishna is the all-merciful, all-loving object of everyone's love. Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. Krishna is the source of all the demigods. It is his power that gives the facilities for the demigods to manage the affairs of this universe. Krishna is the ultimate creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all material existence. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Not a blade of grass could move without his sanction. Krishna is living within the heart of every living being as the witness, guiding their activities according to their desires. Krishna is living beyond this material existence in his supreme eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan,
where he is exchanging eternal ras, or loving relations, with his eternal associates. And we are all eternal associates of Krishna by our own nature. But somehow or other, due to Krishna's Mahamaya potency, we have chosen by our free will to come in the cloud of material existence, struggling hard to try to find enjoyment and try to somehow or other alleviate distress. But that same Krishna descends into this world just to invite us back. Come back home, back to Godhead. Be with your real family. Chant, dance, be happy. Krishna sends his messengers, his empowered representatives, to teach us that same transcendental teaching. Chant, dance, and be happy. That is the nature of the soul. Not to foam at the mouth like a struggling ass, trying to make a living in a world where you cannot even go on living. Trying to enjoy in a world where you cannot even really enjoy. Inviting you. If a great personality came and said, please come to my home, you would be very honored. You would go. Krishna's come. He's invited you. He sent his own emissaries, his own representatives, Srila Prabhupada, other great souls. They come and say, Krishna's inviting you back to Goloka Vrindavan to enjoy eternally in his wonderful Leela. No more birth, old age, disease, and death. No more bills or taxes or studies or exams. You just play with Krishna forever and be happy. And we're saying, no, I'm too busy struggling like an ass. I'm too busy paying my taxes and studying for my exams and all of these other things. I don't have time for Krishna. Maybe after I do all these things, then maybe I will consider your invitation. But these things will never end until we make our decision. So this is who Krishna is, the supreme, all-lovable truth. Krishna is the source of all beauty. Whatever is beautiful anywhere that we see in anything, it is only a fragmental little part of Krishna's unlimited beauty. If you are attracted to a car or to a piece of jewelry or to a particular human being, we become infatuated by that beauty. What is that beauty? It is just a particle of the external energy of the Lord. What to speak of the full blossomed lotus of the feet of Krishna, which is the ultimate manifestation of spiritual beauty, which is the source of all beauty. Who is Krishna? Krishna's mere glance can create the entire cosmic manifestation. Krishna's mere glance can impregnate unlimited billions upon trillions upon quadrillions, countless spirit souls just come out of his glance and impregnate the womb of material nature in a second. In his expansion of Mahavishnu. But that glance is insignificant in potency compared to the glance of Gopinath. The original source of Mahavishnu, when he glances upon his devotees, he impregnates within their hearts unlimited, uncontrollable ecstasy. That is Krishna. We simply have to open our hearts to receive that glance. When we serve Krishna in a mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, with great humility and sincerity, what is the ultimate goal that we are striving for? That Krishna will glance upon us with that glance. To awaken our love. Who is Krishna? He is the most merciful father, mother of all living beings. In this material world, love is conditional. We have rejected Krishna since time immemorial. Yet Krishna comes to this world only to give us another chance. Again and again and again and again and again he comes just to give us another chance of receiving his mercy and a transcendental life of happiness. He is Karuna Sindhu. He is an unlimited, bottomless ocean of mercy. That is Krishna. Putana came to kill him. Putana disguised herself with such wicked intentions. She placed poison on her breast and appeared like a beautiful mother. And Krishna sucked out the poison. But his all-merciful nature, he saw the good in what she did. She had the intention of a mother, even though it was evil. By sucking out the poison, he took away all her evil intentions, and all that was left was the, when she died, was the pure emotion of being desiring to be the mother of the Lord. And he sent her back home, back to Godhead, to be his mother eternally. To be the assistant, nurse of Yashoda Mai in the spiritual world. Krishna's mercy is causeless. And it is to this Krishna that we have come to glorify by chanting his holy names. It is this Krishna who has descended in his most munificent, merciful incarnation of Lord Chaitanya to give love for himself, to taste love for himself in the mood of his own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, and to distribute that mercy to everyone and anyone. And most wonderfully he distributes it through his own devotees. The chanting of Krishna's holy names is the transcendental process of awakening our original Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is none different than his name. His beautiful form, all of his unlimited pastimes, the ocean of the mercy of his heart's love for all living beings are all contained within his name. And as we approach the holy name, Krishna will reveal himself in this way. So let us make this the real fortune that we preserve within our lives. Somehow or other, we have received the opportunity to associate with Krishna's most dear devotees. We have the opportunity to purify our lives by hearing of his glories and chanting his names. There's no greater fortune. In general course, it takes millions and millions of millions of births and deaths before you can get such an opportunity. One time we asked Srila Prabhupada, why? Why we're getting this Krishna consciousness? What qualification? Prabhupada, you have no qualification. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy is everyone's qualification. And it is coming through his servants. And if we just become the servant of the servant and receive that mercy, that is our qualification. So devotees should never ever be proud. False pride is the greatest illusion. We should understand the fortune we have. Because if we do not understand the fortune we have, we will be inattentive and it may be taken away. This wonderful temple of Sri Radha Gopinath, such a nice temple, such nice devotees, such a loving atmosphere. It's such a great fortune. But we should never be proud. We should never think, our temple is better than your temple. This is, as soon as you think you're better than someone, then you're worse than everyone. That is a reality. We should never think, I'm better than you, we're better than you. We should think that somehow or other we have been given a good fortune. And if we recognize the fortune, we will preserve it. If you're given a diamond, but you do not understand the nature of that diamond or the value, then you may be careless and someone may steal it. Or you may just place it down and forget where it is and never find it again. Somehow, by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's given such a valuable diamond. It's not our diamond, it's his diamond. But we must understand how valuable it is and how fortunate we are. So we should never think ourselves great, but we should think ourselves fortunate. And we should give all glory and credit to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, to other Vaishnavas, because it is through their mercy that we are able to receive this fortune. But as soon as one becomes proud and thinks that I am great, Krishna will take away that fortune. Again and again he takes away the fortune. The fortune of bhakti can only be received and can only be retained by a heart that is filled with humility. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadari. When a devotee receives a special fortune in the form of the mercy of the Lord, he doesn't think, I'm so good I got this. A devotee thinks, I'm so fallen. And the Lord is patita pavana. So somehow, it's causeless mercy. Because we are so fallen, Krishna gives us some special concession. That is his greatness, his mercy. Srila Prabhupada has come on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us this wonderful fortune. So we must understand very clearly the nature of this fortune. The ultimate fortune is Krishna, Radha and Krishna. They are the ultimate goal of life, and they can only be approached through devotion, through bhakti. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And the opportunity to practice this 9 processes in the association of sincere devotees is the fortune that brings about the awakening of the ultimate fortune. The practice of bhakti achieves the goal of Krishna's mercy, and the fruit of his mercy is pure bhakti, unconditional bhakti, love for Krishna. And this process begins in the simple, most glorious way, and it ends in the same way. When they asked Srila Prabhupada, what will you get from all this chanting of Hare Krishna? Many yogis would say, or gurus, what we will get from chanting Hare Krishna? We will get liberation. We will get the fulfillment of all our material desires. Srila Prabhupada, he was of the purest form of spiritual, transcendental teaching. He said, what will we get from chanting Hare Krishna? One thing, the opportunity to eternally chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The ends are the means. By chanting in the association of devotees and hearing with eagerness, this is a very important qualification, to be eager. Our whole life should be developing eagerness to hear and chant. We should not be dead. We should not just do things ritualistically. If you don't feel eager, act eager. You may feel, I'm tired. Another kirtan. Same old melodies, same people. So hot, small crowded room. Another kirtan. I've been through so many of these kirtans. Somehow or other, I'll make it through till prasad comes. That is not eager. But you may feel like that. I will not ask how many feel like that, but I'm... Many probably feel like that. But that's all right. That is the nature of our conditioned mind. But even if we feel like that, we want to show Krishna that we're sincere. So we act eager for the pleasure of Krishna. Even we feel like that, it's not artificial. You may say, this is artificial hypocrisy. I am speaking one way but feeling another way. Not like that. It is just the mood of a servant. You're not doing it to appear to be a famous great saint. You're doing it to purify your filthy heart. My filthy heart, I'm sorry. Please, your hearts are not filthy, my heart is filthy. I should do it to purify my own filthy heart. I may think, another kirtan. Every Sunday I go through this. That may be there. But because I know that I need to please Krishna through this wonderful process, and the devotees have told me what to do, we will say, ah, there's another kirtan, so wonderful, so merciful, we are receiving the benediction, the prime benediction of all humanity. Let us dance, let us chant, let us loudly call out the holy names of God. By your mercy, I'm starting to wake up little. But if you act in this way, then Krishna will see. This person wants to make some sacrifice. This person is acting in an eager way. So I will give this person enthusiasm. I will give this person bhakti. That is called tapasya. The class that's going on, you may think, I've already heard this so many times. This Swamiji, he just says the same thing every week. And not only that, but he always goes over time. There's a schedule, it's supposed to end by 1:30. It's already 3 o'clock. Why doesn't he just go back to America? We may be thinking like this. But even if you're thinking like this, somehow or other, if something out of my mouth is repeating Prabhupada's words, we should be eager to hear it. Our ears should be opening as wide as they can open. And our hearts should be opening as wide as it can open, just to hear this message and to contemplate this message. We should be running to the class. We should somehow or other, if we're falling asleep, we should turn to the person next to me. Please, please, don't let me die. Keep me awake. It's a matter of life and death. Make sure I don't fall asleep. That's one way to stay awake. Just tell the person next to you like this. To sleep during Srimad Bhagavatam class is worse than committing suicide willingly. So don't let me sacrifice my life and die in ignorance. Please keep me awake. If you see me nodding, if you see my eyes closing, please do something. Pinch me, scratch me, push me. Say something, but don't let me sleep. But generally what we do is we sleep, and then someone says, you're sleeping, Prabhu. No, I'm not sleeping. Why? Why you're accusing me of sleeping? Ras, you're envious. You have made aparad. We have to learn how to be eager for Krishna. We have to act eager for Krishna. And we have to be eager to serve. If something needs to be done for the service of Sri Radha Gopinath, Srila Prabhupada's mission, Prabhu, Mataji, can you do this? It's very important. Why are you asking me? There's 700 other people in the temple. Why are you asking me? If of these 700 people, if nobody else is willing to do it, then ask me, I'll do it. That is not eager. Eager means, oh, I'm so fortunate, of 700 people, I'm being given the crest jewel of all benedictions, the opportunity to wash the plates or serve prasadam or clean the floor or do something to serve the Vaishnavas. We must become very eager, and we must cultivate that eagerness to hear, to chant, to serve, to remember Krishna. Then we will fully receive the supreme fortune of Krishna consciousness. And then when devotees come together for kirtan, it will have such a powerful purifying effect that it will attract so many fortunate souls back to the spiritual world. Let us now chant the holy names with great enthusiasm. I'd like to welcome some special guests that have come. One is Bhakta James. Can you please stand up, Prabhu? Prabhu. He is from Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, England. He is a full-time book distributor for Srila Prabhupada's books. He travels all around the United Kingdom distributing books. He's a very, very sincere and wonderful devotee. His mother is also a very sincere and wonderful devotee. And I humbly request that you all give him great kindness and affection, make him very happy during his stay at Radha Gopinath Temple. With great eagerness and enthusiasm, I request you to all greet him to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Also, one of my dear godbrothers is visiting here for 1 week, Abhinandan Prabhu. Abhinandan Prabhu in the temple. If you are here, please stand up. Nandulal Prabhu. Is Nandulal here? Haribo. Does anyone see Nandulal? He was playing Murdunga. Huh? In the ashram. Anyways, they're very, very wonderful devotees. When you see them, please give them your great mercy. And you can greet them so they hear you wherever they may be. Thank you very much. This time we will...